So we're all here. So can we, Tom, can you call the order, and then can we just go around and say your name and what you read of the attachments?
Sure. It's Tom Rutledge here. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I've read the agenda and the budget. Some questions, the stuff about the and the empowerment grant.
John, I read all the attachments that were forwarded.
This is Lindy. I read all the attachments, but not what you just sent, Holden.
Right, that had minor modifications that we'll be make sure to mention.
Okay.
This is Holden, as long as I'm talking, and, you know, I wrote the attachments, so I read them, or worked on the economic empowerment one.
Oh, this is Ari. I read them, all of them.
This is Ellie. I wrote and read them.
Natalie, it's your turn.
This is Natalie, and I read all of them.
Okay, so the only people we're missing right now are Greg and Tim. He'd be about 20 minutes late and said that he approves the budget plan as outlined in the attachment, and I told him about the modifications. He approved that. Greg, we're not sure if he's coming, so we're just going to proceed without him, but he said that if he doesn't show up, Ellie can have his vote. So, you know, I guess we can start with, actually, Tim was hoping we would start with the budget, which is a little bit backwards, but since he's not here and he wanted to be a part of the economic empowerment discussion, maybe we could start by knocking that off. You know, there is a modification. There's a couple modifications in the attachment I sent out. You know, the expenses projected, conservative projected expenses are higher. Because the number I sent out before just erroneously didn't include the sort of possible analyst hire in February. And the grants that are proposed are also higher because we changed, basically Ellie and I changed our minds about which exact grants we wanted to classify as restricted and released from restrictions. So I can go into the details if someone wants, but the big picture is that in addition to the $250,000 of the economic empowerment grant, we are proposing $34,813.40 in other grants divided between Village Reach and the Stop Tuberculosis Partnership. That's about twice what the original attachment said. And then the budget situation is materially the same. But, you know, we've got basically about $440,000 available for operating over the next 12 months against a little under $300,000 in expenses. So we have a surplus. The surplus is not like earth of expenses surplus, so we're not going to, you know, it doesn't trigger our excess reserves policy, but it also means that we consider ourselves in decent shape with conservative projection of expenses and conservative projection of revenue. So with all that said, I mean, the budget attachment has the, you know, the full budget for January through November 2009. So I'd like the board to kind of sign off on that after the fact, and that includes some modifications to the earlier approved budget. Those were noted. And then we have our projected budget that we'd like approved and the grants that we would like approved. Any thoughts on that?
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
So the pledge raising shows that it starts and ends on the same day, and I didn't really know what that advertising expense was for.
We just did this. It's on a month, so a lot of these start and end December 1st, which just means they're December expenses. They're happening in December. So the day was superfluous. I shouldn't have included that. And the advertising expenses, we've allocated $5,000 to advertising for this giving season, which is mostly Google AdWords. We were going to advertise on Marginal Revolution, but the author, one of the authors ended up donating that ad to us. And so I think we're actually going to end up quite a bit under that. Ellie, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to end up closer to $2,000.
Can I just ask you guys, what was it last year? Because last year, or the year ending, you know, 2009, it seems advertising is lumped in with a bunch of other stuff. So what's the advertising standalone expense, just to compare them?
This year advertising is largely internet advertising, which is almost entirely Google AdWords. Last year we included a lot of other items in that, including the marketing packets we put together. We had a designer, and so there were other things. The Google AdWords itself was, you know, so it was for the same purpose of raising pledges and raising awareness, but it was a lot higher, closer to $7,500, I think. And then, you know, the AdWords themselves were a little bit higher last year.
Am I looking at the wrong line item on the first page?
It's the second page.
I'm trying to figure out the...
No, he's looking at miscellaneous admin and pledge raising.
I'm just trying to compare what the 2010 projected looks like versus 2009. So the 2009 actual looks kind of low.
It's like 6,000 total. But I think, I don't know. We would have to look it up, Ari, but I'm pretty sure it was in the same range this year as it is this year. I think it was between $2,000 and $3,000. Ellie, does that sound about right?
Yeah, it was about right.
Got it. Okay, so $2,000 to $3,000 on advertising specifically, going to $5,000 next year.
No, we had $5,000 for this year. I put this budget together a few days ago, and I just picked that number to be safe. I didn't really know what we were spending, so it turns out we're spending less than that.
Okay.
So, look, guys, the story on advertising is we spent about in the neighborhood of $2,000 on AdWords last year, and we're spending about $2,000 this year, but I put $5,000 in the budget because there was a little bit more uncertainty, especially on my part at the time when I assembled that. Who's here?
Maybe now is not the right time.
Sorry, that was just
talking to guys down, but I guess the question I was thinking of was, you know, what's the right amount, and you know, maybe it should be more, or is there a way to measure how you're thinking about what the right advertising spend should be, and if you're measuring or trying to target some kind of return on that?
Yeah, we could get into that. I think that it makes more sense to discuss the sort of return, the return on advertising and how we're budgeting it, as part of a metrics discussion when we put that together for giving season. But I'll say that conceptually what we're trying to do is, during giving season, spend some money to bring new people to GiveWell while being careful to assess how those people are interacting with the site. So we're not spending a lot of money and not looking at it at all. Very, very basically, kind of an off-the-cuff metric is we think it's worth a dollar of advertising on AdWords to bring us a dollar of money moved, a dollar to one of our recommended charities. And so that's sort of like a very rough ballpark figure we use just as a basic benchmark that things are going okay.
I would say it's worth more than that. I mean, I personally wonder if we've spent enough on advertising this year. But, you know, just so you know, in past years, it's been more of a, let's just do some advertising because it's giving season and we want to experiment. And, you know, I don't think we got donations through advertising in past years. This year I think we have, and it may even be close to one-to-one, which to me is, you know, to me is almost an indicator that we didn't spend enough on advertising. But
right. That's kind of where
return,
I was thinking.
Good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to create such a discussion. It was just a question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting. And you know, kind of confidence inspiring about advertising. I think my only issue would be, it seems like there should be a general bucket for outreach, and advertising should be part of that. I know that some of that kind of falls under your salaries because you guys are doing that, you know, with your own time. But you know, are there potentially other expenditures/investments that we might want to make in the realm of outreach?
I when I think about the things we're realistically going to be doing for outreach over the next year, I think basically, aside from this stuff, it's possible that there could be travel expenses, basically to, you know, network in one way or another with people we think are important. I imagine those aren't going to be terribly significant, and they'd probably fall under miscellaneous admin.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth just remembering in terms of outreach, and just as some context, that, you know, the outreach that we got for free from Peter Singer is just dwarfing by orders of magnitude anything we've gotten from AdWords. You know, like, we're talking just, it's not even in the same universe of impact, and so, like, if we had valuable things we could do, we'd want to do them, but we don't want to just spend the money, you know, without having a good plan for what it would be used for.
That gets into a strategy discussion, which I think we do not want to have at this meeting. We want to have in a month when we've, you know, written up our strategy, but that is a little preview of what we're thinking, that we don't see a lot of value in these, you know, in this kind of push advertising. We see ourselves as, you know, mostly trying to create a great product and make sure that the people who would really appreciate it and spread the word are aware of it.
I gotta say, I'm working on an AdWords campaign right now for an initiative at Deloitte, and you have to be highly, highly strategic and savvy to do an effective campaign. Like, we're working with really good campaigners, and it's very difficult to do something that brings in a lot of viewers. So, like, unless you have the time, energy, and skill, I'm not sure how effective it's going to be anyway.
You're talking about AdWords, Wendy? Or yeah. Advertising in general?
AdWords. I'm talking about AdWords. Like, doing
it.
To
me, AdWords, Google AdWords is a pretty simple thing. It depends what you're trying to do with it. I mean, if the goal is to raise some very large target of money, I imagine it'd be very different. But AdWords is, like, one of the most trackable things that exists, and so you can really just, you know, you can spend $100 and see what you got for your $100, and it's all incredibly easy to set up and do it and assess.
No, I understand, but all I'm saying is to extract as much value as possible and to get the most viewers using your AdWords campaigns. I think that there's a strategic side to it that is challenging. And
right.
If it's a competitive search term and you really want to, you know, choose the right words and get people to the page, it's hard to know what those are. Especially, and this is the whole strategy discussion that we're not going to, but it depends who we're trying to target. So I don't think we should go down this path. I think we should stick to what we're...
Well, Lindy, I think we're going to be able to produce that just show that isn't the case. I mean,
now you're just taking off on such a... Lindy, I mean, we agree that it's you know, a strategy discussion,
yeah,
and that it's
yeah.
complicated,
yeah.
So let's just table this till later.
Yeah. So the budget.
Yeah.
So on the developing world trip, still not totally sure, so we've allocated that to be safe. What I think is actually going to happen is that I'm going to do that in February as my vacation, but, you know, probably spend 90% or more of the trip, you know, actually trying to do GiveWell work, i.e. visiting our recommended charities, maybe visiting some non-recommended charities. So I think we're going to do something like, you know, me splitting the airfare with GiveWell or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's my basic plan. Like, I think basically I think I could go and devote almost the entire trip to GiveWell and still it would be like a vacation for me. It would fill that slot for me, and so I think that's a reasonable compromise that will allow this trip to happen.
Does this I don't know how this has worked in the past. Sorry, I know I'm dominating with a lot of questions here, but in terms of the salaries, is there not like a raise that happens on a yearly basis?
That's something we haven't gotten into. I mean, we have many raises, and I don't know if we want.
I mean, the general principle we've been. I mean, first and foremost, we have to do sort of an annual formal review from
yeah.
the board of Olden and Me, and so that's something we've just pushed towards that till after giving season, but that'll be coming up soon. And I guess any salary discussion would be a part of that review process. What we've The principle we've been operating on since GiveWell started is that GiveWell is a startup, and you know we're not really thinking that hard about our salaries and how much we're getting paid while it's in startup phase. And then you know as GiveWell became more mature and it was the funding was more stable, then we'd start to consider it. And so, I mean, Holden and I haven't discussed it a lot. I still think GiveWell is probably in startup phase, and so it's still a little premature to have discussions. But we certainly have never had a sort of an annual raise built in or anything like that.
So that's fine,
yeah.
But I think maybe the board needs to discuss it, but my view would be that I think at least an inflation-adjusted raise on an annual basis is appropriate.
Are you only saying that because there was deflation this year?
Not in Canada. I don't know what it's been like on a city-to-city basis, but I think it's the ethical thing to do. And, if we are to consider even a 1% or 2% increase just based on inflation or whatever, you know, we're talking then about a couple of $1,000s here. I just wonder if the budget, like, I don't know what your operating model has been in the past in terms of going over or under budget, but I have a feeling that we might go over budget on a number of these items, and I just want to be, you know, cautious enough that we have money allocated to the things appropriately. That's my only concern in raising these issues.
I think it's a reasonable point to raise. We've never gone over budget before. We've always come in under budget by quite a bit because we make these allocations to be safe, and then we, you know, oftentimes just don't end up doing them. So, you know, when I look at this budget, what I think is optimistic and pessimistic, we may end up doing raises. I mean, if you force me to take a raise, I will have to comply. That could be a few $1,000s. Instead of being two trips, I think it's going to end up being one trip that's split with Holden personally. So I think that's an overstatement. I think the pledge raising is obviously an overstatement. The website is almost certainly an overstatement. We've never spent, you know, that much on the website in a year. This year we spent, you know, in 08, I'm just looking at the previous page.
Yeah.
And we spent around $5,000 on the website in 08, but this was a huge website revamp here. I think it's going to be under that. So, you know, I think if we go over budget, it won't be by much, and our margin for error is pretty big.
Okay, I don't want you to be precise, but I want it to be pretty accurate. So if you feel like it's accurate, even given the questions that I raised, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, some of these items will come in above and some will come in below, but I think the basic picture is right. The bigger question is are we being too modest about hiring, and that's something that certainly people could raise and could argue. And I even think, you know, if things are going real well with research analysts, we may want to hire more research analysts. Other people may believe we should be hiring else, which I would probably disagree with, whatever that is. But
I think
might
it's
be
very hard holding for us to have. It's hard for us to have a budgeting discussion around people until we have a more fleshed out strategy discussion.
Okay, I agree with that.
Right, so I'd say at this point, we think that this budget is on the, you know, slightly conservative end of what will happen, you know, seeing that a lot of items could go a couple $1,000s this way or a couple $1,000s that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I as usual, I guess, agree with Lindy on the strategy issue, and I think we should probably, given the open strategy questions, probably, you know, provisionally approve the budget, but, you know, have an understanding that there are some strategy issues we need to resolve that are potentially going to move numbers around in a month.
Well, let me add a question in here to Ellie really quickly. Ellie, you know, do you think we made a decision about classifying donations in a way that we didn't have to do it that resulted in about $15,000 of grants that we kind of, you know, we sort of don't have to make by accounting regulations? Ellie, do you think that's something we should get into because of the uncertainty? Do you think that the board should have a say on whether we go through with that, or should we not really get into that?
I don't think we need to really get into that. I mean, I think the budget is you know, obviously things can always change if we make a new strategic decision. That can always happen. But I think that this budget is on the conservative side of accurate for what we expect to happen, and so I think that's the right thing to go forward with for now.
Yeah. So, board, so it's not so cryptic. There's, there's about $15,000 that we do not, we're making about $15,000 more in grants than we're required to, according to the way people restricted their donations, and we think what we're doing is appropriate, and it would be kind of a discussion about why. But that's something where, you know, if you think, oh, boy, we can't do that, we need every $15,000 we can get, then speak up now. Ellie and I think not necessary and we should move on.
I'm sorry, I'm completely confused, but if you think it's not necessary, then I'll trust that unless anyone has an objection. I don't really know exactly what you mean.
All I'm saying is we're proposing...
Pardon?
John's
area.
If we're erring on the side of granting more, I don't think we need much of a discussion. If we're the other way, right, then maybe we need to go into the details.
Is this the 14,000 whatever amount that you're going to get divide between the two?
It's now up to about 34,000, which is 14,000 or so more than we. So I'm asking if anyone on the board has a problem with that before I move on.
Okay, so 30,000 is going to be divided between the two.
35,000, about.
35,000.
Yes. And we're only required to give out 20 grand. So if anyone has a problem with that, speak up. Otherwise, let's move on.
Got it. Can I ask you a quick question about when you give money to these guys? Or are we going to come on that later?
I don't know what that is, so why don't you just
Sorry, ask? The division of the money that you're going to be granting out? Are we talking
the
about
what?
That right now? The money
yes,
that you're going to be giving out?
Yes, ask your question.
My question is, do you have any idea, and this is sort of a general question but pertinent to this, do you have any idea on what kind of impact it's having on these two organizations that money keeps flowing to them? Are they able to absorb it all?
Yes, we think so. And this grant money, by the way, is a pretty small part of the overall money that's going to them because of GiveWell
right,
that we're tracking. But we've done our reviews of them are, like, very explicit about this point. It's one of our, like, three major criteria for a charity is
yeah,
room for more funding, and
yeah,
we try to quantify that. So we've got it. I'll just answer your question for now. Yes, we've thought about it a lot. Obviously, you can never know for sure, but the estimates and the analysis we've done have the gaps that can be filled way above what we're realistically going to send their way.
Okay.
Okay, I really don't want to slow this down, but I got to say this. It seems like our strategy could affect that decision as well. Like, if we decide that there's a lot of marginal value to putting more money into a research associate or multiple research associates or, you know, a research consultant or something, that we may regret the decision to have pledged money to Village Reach and Stop TV.
Because there's a trade-off between being able to do more good research.
Yeah, and donating directly
yeah,
to charity.
But
now,
I would say that, you know, principally where we come down is that we think that, you know, it's the right way to go when we think we have funds that we can grant them. And, you know, this is something we talked about a couple meetings ago, and you know, we try to be conservative about it. We don't want to dig ourselves a hole. But I think, you know, our general principle is when we have funds that we can grant, we should grant. And I don't think that, you know, we could always operate, you know, with the principle that, you know, we might change our plans and need an extra $100,000 in 3 months, and so therefore we have to, you know, save these funds for a possibility. And so basically, you know, to me, this is a relatively small amount of money in the scheme of what we're planning, and I think it's appropriate to grant out. And if, you know, we change strategy, that may mean that we need to go, you know, I don't think that these funds will make a significant difference to our ability to execute some strategy, and so that's why it seems right to me to grant them. And I do believe that if we have a strong case to funders, if we had a need, you know, for a particular expense that we could make a strong case for, I believe we could get the funding for it.
So I don't agree with the first part of what Ellie said, although I might if we talked about it more, but I just want to, you know, the key part to me is more the second part, which is that 15 grand is just not going to be the critical. It's just not going to be critical. You know, our margin for error is an order of magnitude bigger than that. We've got the sort of $140,000 in excess of the next 12 months' expenses. And basically, this is something we haven't gotten into detail, but I think we do have a good reason to give out the extra 15 grand, and it's not going to be a big deal. So that's given the margin of error, given the fact that we have a lot of funders who I think would give us more funding if we sort of made a strong case that we needed it. So I don't think we'll regret granting the extra funds.
Okay, well, I'll trust you guys on that. I think, again, I think it is, there's a bigger discussion to have here, but I agree with the principal, and I certainly is good PR to tell people that we're continuing to pass through donations to worthy causes. So, I'm okay with that.
Do you need everyone to be okay with that, or can we move on?
I need to vote on the budget.
Okay, so should we vote?
Yeah, I vote in favor of passing the budget.
I do, too.
I do, too.
Yes, me, too.
Me, too.
Did Ellie just drop off?
No, that sounded like a login dial again. Kim, do you vote to approve the budget?
I do.
Just in the nick of time.
I'm not saying what I'm voting on approving the budget, just that I'm voting for it.
Great.
That's 6 out of 7, and Greg's not here, so I think we can move on.
Yep.
Just in time, Tim.
Excellent.
All right, so on the economic empowerment grant, hopefully everyone's read the basics. Maybe we should just start by addressing Tim's questions since he sent them already, and I can pull those up if you just give me 1 second.
I have them in front of me if you want me to read them.
Okay, go for it.
So the first question Tim had was the decision to make a grant to organizations rather than to supporting research, which, as I understand, was one of the options available, is not discussed. How did you decide to make the grants, given that none of the organizations reached the standards of the selected charities in the health sector?
Actually, you know what? Do you guys mind? I'm looking at them now. Do you guys mind if we answer the last question first in case I need to dig something up to answer that question? Let's do that. Tim asked about freedom from hunger, and I don't know.
I know the deal with Freedom from Hunger. So
you know the deal? Okay.
Yes, we invited Freedom from Hunger to apply. And they declined our invitation to apply. And when we asked them why, we didn't get a response. And so that is the full extent of what we know about Freedom from Hunger. We didn't put them in the bucket of organizations that we sort of harassed as much as possibly could to get them to apply. But the fact that we got a direct decline from them, I think so that tells us that they weren't interested.
And there weren't a lot of organizations. Well, there were a lot that declined. There weren't a lot of like big name or big targets that declined. But FINCA was one of them. Kickstart was one of them. Freedom from Hunger was one of them. And 1 Acre Fund. These are all charities that have come recommended to us in one form or another. 1 Acre Fund initially declined, then said they would apply, then said they couldn't get stuff to us in time. Then we offered them an extension, and they said they still couldn't do it.
What's the main reason? I saw your reasons for all of them, but what's the main reason that the big guys didn't want to apply?
Well, it's hard to say. You go ahead, Holm.
No, I'm clarifying that by big guys, you mean the four I just said, because we've already...
I'm sorry, the ones you just said, like FINCA or Freedom from Hunger or whatever. I guess you don't know about Freedom from Hunger, but other ones.
I mean, I would just say that it's really hard to know because, I think that the most common sort of words we got, or the most common explanation we got, was we don't have the time to devote to this application.
Right.
At the same time, when you look carefully at what we asked for, what we said to them is don't spend time on this. If you have these documents, send them to us. If you don't have them, then you really shouldn't apply. There's no use spending time writing a proposal because that's not what we're looking for.
Right.
And so I think the fairest assessment of the reasons organizations didn't apply is that they didn't think they were very likely to win the grant because they didn't have the documents that we were looking for or the type of evidence we were looking for. And you could certainly call into question whether the questions we were asking are reasonable, but I think that's likely the most common reason.
Okay.
So that's the answer to number 4. So.
Yeah, that answers my question, just to be clear.
Okay. So question number 1, making a grant, why we want to make a grant to organizations instead of, activating our option to fund a research project, perhaps through Poverty Action Lab or whatever. And the answer to that is that it's true that we don't think the sort of the contenders that we've listed are at the level of our top health charities, but we do think they're standouts in this area. I don't know. I think GiveWell is ultimately We're not an academic research organization. We don't really have experience funding academic research. We're really about creating good incentives for organizations, you know, actual vehicles that donors can give to. So we want to do that if at all possible, and we think that standout organizations and that our money will do a lot of good with them, because it will, you know, especially with the smaller organizations, these are organizations that our money is going to mean a lot to them, and it's going to help high-performing organizations, promising organizations, do what they do, and also maybe nudge them in the direction that we want to see them go, which is kind of, you know, connecting the remaining dots of their impact.
Also, two things to note, at least from my point of view around research donations, is that on the one hand, I mean, first of all, it's nice to remain at a distance from J-PAL and IPA or whomever's doing research, because it allows you to continue to be proponents of them without being tied to funding them, if that makes some sort of sense. And as much of an advocate as I am for those organizations, the second thing is that this funder does a lot of direct funding to that kind of research. And even if it's an option, it is nice to direct some of the funds to the organizations directly. That would be, you know, so I sort of felt comfortable with that.
And I don't necessarily object prima facie. I just, you know, we had talked about that as an option, and it wasn't discussed in the document at all as to why that decision was made. So
I'd say the biggest thing is that I think research was a fallback position. If we really didn't find anything that we thought was going to you know, likely accomplish a lot of good and further GiveWell's mission, and I think that the organizations we're talking about here do both. I think that giving them money will accomplish good, and it rewards charities who have demonstrated effectiveness in improving lives.
Yeah, I think it accomplishes our mission of using money to help people and using money to give good incentives to good charities. So because we have that option, they said the research was just a fallback.
So can we continue with his questions and then get to other questions too?
Yeah. So number two, what sort of control for preventing kickbacks would you expect VEF to have? Or what alternative approach? So, I don't have a lot of thoughts on this. The main thing that just struck me is that VEF did run into a kickback situation in what seemed like a very random and arbitrary way. And so, kind of, what I would want to see is just more, a more systematic way in which they identify that someone received a kickback. And that may require a lot of creativity, and it's not something that, you know, I don't really think it's our role to say how charities should do their job. I think it's our role to just look at the evidence that something's going well and say how strong is that evidence, and not correct for how hard it is to measure, and not handicap because, you know, we don't think, you know, we basically think that if you're doing something less measurable, then you know, that counts in a sense. And, you know, we're just looking for the best options for donors. We're not really trying to be, like, fair to all the different sectors and all the different things people can do. So I guess my overview would be, you know, I don't really know, but it's a major problem, and that's relevant to donors, and so that's why we would classify them as we do.
More generally, do you have any insight into how they select these business mentors? Because it seems like so much of the enterprise just depends on the quality of these and trustworthiness of these people.
Yeah, we don't know a ton. I mean, what I recall them telling us when we spoke about it is that, you know, they select a new community to go and work in, and when they are looking at that community, and I guess by community I mean region relatively broadly defined, they find someone who is, you know, sort of in a higher up position of status in that area, i.e. a clergy person or a teacher, I think, are the types of jobs they told us, and they try to find someone trustworthy. I mean, that's the extent to which I understand their process.
Where do they actually operate?
In East Africa, I think in,
like,
Rwanda.
All over?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I think Rwanda and Tanzania, but I could be wrong about that.
Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania. It's pretty much pan-African at this, pan-East Africa at this point.
Okay. Do we ever make restricted grants?
We never have, and we don't want to right now. I wouldn't rule it out, but I think it's something that I prefer not to do.
Because
we, since we're trying to serve individual donors, we really believe that people giving small amounts of money, individual donors should be giving unrestricted. And we've argued that point at various times. One of them was pretty recent, so I can send you the blog links if you want. And that's why, you know, we look for charities that are appropriate for that kind of giving, and then we do that kind of giving with them. There's also other reasons that, you know, again, we're about identifying the charities that do great work, not about telling charities how to do their job. And there is a big difference between those two things. You know, you can definitely do one without doing the other. You can spot evidence of impact without, like, knowing how to create an impactful program. You know, there's that issue, and then there's just the issue that, I don't know, this way it's the same dollars provide a stronger incentive, a stronger reward for the charities, and since we've found organizations, good organizations, we think it's a good thing to give them more freedom over how they spend the funds.
I guess I see this as a unique case, because we've basically been asked to pretty much be a consultant to a donor for very large amounts of money, not small amounts of money. And, you know, getting to Tim's third question around restricted grants and BRAC, I have a really big problem with the BRAC selection.
Okay,
I love BRAC, like, I think they're awesome, but I think we need to get to this other question because it poses an interesting discussion.
Well, I'm happy to move on to that other question. You know, I would say broadly, I just don't have any good ideas for restricting the funds for this case, which is another reason we don't do it, because I think if we gave money to BRAC and said this is only for the ultra-poor program, I think that would largely be a symbolic gesture, and we've also argued that point before, and I can make an argument for that. And with VEF, and, you know, it's the same thing. Like, anything I can think of to restrict it to them, it would probably, I think it would actually be more likely to just be a pain in their neck than it would be to improve the impact of our funds.
But there's also a larger question around the selection of BRAC, namely,
right,
the amount of
question.
Money is such a small amount of money to them that it's not really fulfilling, you know, the values that we talk about in terms of having an impact for organizations that aren't huge.
Well, we certainly don't have a problem giving a amount of money that's very small in the scope of someone's budget. That's not something we think is, you know, what we do think is essential is that an organization have ability to absorb more funding. So we don't want to give money to overfunded organizations, you know, organizations that have, for example, more dollars than doctors, no matter how big they are. But we're also happy to give money to organizations that have lots of room to absorb it, you know, no matter how big they are. So that's kind of the thinking with BRAC is that there's several points in their favor. We think they can absorb it. We don't have a problem necessarily with them being bigger. I want to explain a little bit more about the reasoning behind BRAC and the reasoning with how we did the allocation. We are very open to cutting BRAC from the allocation and therefore giving more money to the other two. I'm very open to that. We had a debate about that, and we don't feel that strongly, so we can vote on that. But maybe I'll lay out what I see as the pros and cons. I do think that our dollars accomplish more good with SEF and VEF on kind of a per-dollar basis because they not only are helping fund programs, but in an incentive sense, they're much stronger for SEF and VEF. They're small organizations, and so they're gonna take those funds as a major gift, and you know, without the funds being restricted, they're going to, I think, take those funds as a major push that, hey, if you can really, you know, continue to document your work and continue to produce better impacts and, you know, focus on that stuff instead of the usual stuff that raises funds, that can raise funds.
Hold on, that's what I was getting at when I was talking about size of organization.
I see. Okay, well, then I agree with that, and that's why we want to give more to them. And basically, when it came down to it, I just looked and I said, would I rather give 125, 125, zero, to BRAC, or would I rather give 100, 150? And basically, I think by giving 50 to BRAC, we're providing them a non-trivial nudge. We're providing them a non-trivial kind of reward for being a great organization. And I also think that the difference in incentives to SEF or VF between 100 and 125 is pretty small and is actually, you know, a lot of this is just kind of...
Yeah, but hold on, sorry, just to pause, you just said to give it to them a nudge for being a great organization, and I don't disagree at all. BRAC is an incredible organization in many dimensions. Do they empower people economically? And, you know, are their programs having an impact, a demonstrable impact? And I'm not convinced of that, and I follow BRAC a lot.
So, well, I would say yes of their ultra-poor program, which is the one we focused on. And you know,
but you have no idea if you're going to give 50,000. I mean, it's such a huge organization
right.
that you could give 50,000 to them, and they're just going to use
the
it
trade-off,
in Bangladesh.
But the, just to be, to me, like one of the major trade-offs with BRAC versus the others is that if I was just looking at BRAC's ultra-poor program, I think that's the best program and the best documented program that we saw from any organization, not in terms of its evidence of impact, and also in terms of the process it's following now, i.e. being scaled up and rigorously evaluated.
Yeah.
And so that program beats the other, in my mind, would beat the other two.
But okay,
then because of this other
token,
issue, but because
yeah.
of this other issue that BRAC is large and runs many programs, you know, for that reason, it doesn't seem like, you know, BRAC doesn't overall beat the other two. And so then,
but then
we
if
have
you're
this
giving
gray.
Them, but Ellie, if you're giving them a nudge and you're saying 50,000 as a reward, which is fine, then restrict the grant.
But it just, but like we said before, I mean, I agree with Holden's take on the restriction. It would be only a symbolic measure. And I don't think
matter.
That it
the
would
whole,
actually...
But you're saying
yeah,
the whole grant
sure.
in some way is symbolic.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it would probably be symbolic. I think for BRAC's case, I think there's a decent chance that it would not be symbolic, and a decent chance that it would only be symbolic. It's hard to know.
Well, I'm not...
So actually, I'm pretty open to restricting it.
But we'd have to talk just on this. This is a very specific, detailed point, but I'm not sure that we could actually restrict this grant to the ultra-poor program. Because the grant we're giving is targeted for sub-Saharan Africa, and Natalie might know, but I don't believe that they are actually expanding that program in sub-Saharan Africa.
They're not currently running it there. I'm not sure if they're planning to expand it there in the future, but not in the immediate future.
I thought they were planning to expand it there. I thought that was anyway. Let me,
They may be planning to expand it there eventually, but not in the immediate future.
So to me, if they're not planning on expanding that program and that's the program that you've highlighted them for, I'm not sure it's the right time to give to them if the whole premise of this grant is to be Africa-based. For
yeah,
the
I
same
mean,
reasons
maybe...
that you turned other people away for doing great economic empowerment stuff not in Africa.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument. I don't think it was really, maybe a good way to resolve this would just be to offer BRAC $50,000 restricted to expanding that program in Africa.
Yeah.
And if they say we can't do that, then the money just goes to the others.
That idea doesn't seem great to me. I mean, would you really want to be in the position of pushing BRAC to choose to expand a program in Africa that they weren't already planning to do? I mean, I would certainly bet on BRAC's position on what makes sense to expand in Africa more than ours, but I could still see them accepting the money because it's a reasonable amount of money that they'd want to take in.
Well, another way to put this would be to ask them, you know, ask them if they're planning to expand it soon enough that it would make sense to restrict it. Maybe we could even ask that without explicitly saying we're thinking of giving you money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, can't you just ask them if they're going to be expanding this program in Africa?
I mean, I think we can ask that, but I mean, I would want to separate a couple of things here. I think the question of whether they're going to be operating the program that we evaluated in Africa is a binary question.
Yeah.
The restriction question, I would be adamantly opposed to restricting any grant from GiveWell because I think it violates a lot of the whole thinking of GiveWell. And as we've talked about, restricting it would be symbolic, and we can we can accomplish the same symbolism in how we write about BRAC, and as we discuss why we picked them if we do if they are doing something in sub-Saharan Africa, as effectively without violating a core principle of GiveWell about how donors should behave.
But giving to them is also somewhat symbolic because we're basically rewarding them for an economic empowerment program that they're doing in South Asia on operations that are being done in Africa that have nothing to do with economic empowerment necessarily.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit – I think that you're defining the reasons we're rewarding them a little bit too – you know, I think you're missing, or we haven't discussed the other reasons that we like them, and I think, you know, they're in the document and they're worth just putting out there for other people to think about, you know, which is one, you know, BRAC, more than any other organization and certainly one focused on economic empowerment, they're devoted to research and evaluation, and that, you know, in transparency in what they do, and that is across all programs, and that is exciting about BRAC. And similarly, you know, they have a reputation in the field, which we discussed in the attachment, that I think really stands out. And so in my mind, when I think about trying to make a bet with these funds and where they're going to, like, literally do the most good on the ground for the people who are living there, I think it's hard for me to really feel a lot more confident in VEF or SEF than BRAC when I look at the full picture, because to me the TUP program is not – the reason that's a powerful argument is not that the TUP program itself is so effective, it's that BRAC is the type of organization that runs creates a program like TUP, you know, the Targeting the Ultra Poor program, evaluates it, and then tries to bring it to scale with other organizations and have those scaling up process.
Ellie, with all due respect, the World Bank does that, the UN does that, plenty of organizations that are very big have excellent programs that they do in some places, and just because BRAC is partnering with J-PAL to run an evaluation on one program out of their $400+ million of programs does not mean that they're going to do that everywhere or that they're someone that we should recommend $50,000 to. There may be reasons, and they may be a good choice, but I don't think that your argument is necessarily sound because there are a lot of organizations that do that we probably wouldn't recommend funding.
Well, I don't think there's, just to be fair, I don't think there's any other organization you could say that about 10%, even 10% of their funds. So we're not talking about like a random single program. We're talking about a significant portion of their activities. I also think that the reputation that they have to us, and so if we're wrong, you know, I think that you should, you know, we'd want to hear it, but the reputation that they have is fundamentally different than the reputations that, you know, that we've seen for other organizations.
They do have a good reputation. That's completely not under debate at all. But I think the question remains, are they actually impacting on an economic empowerment dimension? Are they creating an impact? It's just being evaluated now, so we don't have the answer to that.
That's not true. Hang on. Okay. The Ultra Poor program has been evaluated. We're not talking about the in-progress randomized controlled trial. We're talking about a
completed
evaluation.
But it's being scaled now. Like, the question of whether it's making an impact as it's scaled, I guess, is what I'm, you know.
Well, that's a question with any, you know, that it's very rare it's a question with almost any program. It's rare enough that you have a good evaluation of a program that shows that it actually had an impact.
I understand, but we're talking about it being scaled to Africa. What we're interested, I mean,
right.
That's what you guys highlighted in your notes, so that's what I'm focusing on, and I read the notes. But, you know, if what we're interested in is economic empowerment in Africa, and we think BRAC is a great organization, and the TUP program is one excellent example, and it's being evaluated on a scaled up, don't we want to know that it works scaled up before we start devoting resources to it? You know, I don't know. This is a question, and it's clearly the whole board needs to be involved in this discussion. But I have a problem funding, you know, because of, you know, proof in Bangladesh. I know that things in certain countries don't work in other countries, and I'm not sure that the proof of concept is worth funding for Africa, and without restricting the grants particularly. BRAC does a tremendous number of things that wouldn't fall under economic empowerment.
And where
I think it's a question you need
to
go back to the donor with, frankly. I mean, they need to have a say in this as well. I mean,
Where I weigh in on this is back to the binary question, right? Are they going to be doing this in Africa in the foreseeable time frame, yes or no?
And Ellie, you said that TEP was not the one to focus on, but that's what you guys reviewed.
Well, but that I don't think that that is fully accurate. I mean, the TEP program is and maybe Holden and I disagree on the argument for BRAC, but my argument for BRAC relies on the existence of TEP, but it's far from the only reason I would want to grant these funds to BRAC. I think that broadly, the area of economic empowerment is a difficult one for a donor. And while BRAC doesn't, in my mind, measure up to the top charities we found in the Act of Health, I think that they make a very strong case to be in the same league as SEF and VEF. And I find it hard to reasonably, with confidence, argue that SEF and VEF are a better bet for a donor.
Do we know for a fact that BRAC, forget the TEP program, BRAC is expanding into sub-Saharan Africa?
Yes.
Can we restrict our grant to BRAC sub-Saharan Africa?
I just weighing in here again, I will absolutely vote no on any proposal that includes restricting a grant.
But then we're giving a grant to a Bangladeshi organization.
Right.
Because
I have no problem with
work.
That. I have so much less problem with that than the message of GiveWell restricting a grant.
That's fine, but then it's not meeting the mandate of the donor, and I don't think we should be making the grant. If we're not going to restrict
The donor definitely has signed off on making an unrestricted grant to BRAC if we choose to do that. So it's in the, it's debatable whether it's in the spirit of the grant, except that we have had the discussion.
Okay, in my view, I respect Tim's adamance on not restricting, but in my view, if the mandate is to empower Africans, then giving $50,000 to BRAC is not empowering Africans as much, perhaps, as the other two organizations might achieve that.
And Lindy, we've had the discussion with the donor, and the donor is fine with us granting an unrestricted to BRAC.
He's trusting us as the experts, and the fact
is, to be clear, it's not just he understands the situation with BRAC. Also, we've had a few discussions with him, and so we're not, what we present is in line with a few reasonably lengthy discussions about what we're thinking and what we found and how we're going about it.
I mean, that's fine. Like I wrote my thesis in undergrad on BRAC. I love BRAC. I think they're awesome. I don't feel that it's in the spirit of a grant for economic empowerment for Africa if we can't restrict it to Africa. They're a $400 million organization that does a ton of work all over the world, particularly in Bangladesh. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that if that's what we're supposed to do, that this is the best way to do it.
And I think the issue there may not be with the donor so much as it is just the follow-on effect of us executing a dedicated grant for economic empowerment in Africa. I think we want to show people that was the mandate and not have to complicate the story after the fact. Well, it was originally that, but we found, we felt like BRAC was a good non-African economic development organization, so we allocated money to them. I just think that's, I just think it complicates the story from kind of a, from the standpoint of what GiveWell's identity is and GiveWell's ability to follow the direction of the donor. Even though the donor thinks it's okay, I just think it's a PR issue as much as anything else.
And it's also our role to be, educators of the donor. If there was a BRAC in sub-Saharan Africa as an entity that we could give to, by all means, I have no problem with that. If they have organized in Kenya or anywhere, I don't care. I have no problem with BRAC. I just have a problem with, I don't care if the donor says fine. There are a lot of donors out there who make bad decisions. I don't want to be part of a decision to promote economic empowerment in Africa this way necessarily.
Okay, I think we're getting close to a vote because I think we've mostly said what we're going to say. I do want to, want to make sure that people raise anything we think hasn't been considered. And for me personally, I want to make sure to be on the record that I think Lindy raises good points. I think Tim raises good points. I'm kind of on the fence, and I've been on the fence the whole time about granting BRAC. But I strongly disagree with Tom's take that this is about messaging or PR. I just very strongly disagree with that. it may be another later discussion about strategy where I get into all the reasons why. But I guess the main thing I would say for now is just that, you know, it's a one-off. It's a grant that was given to us by a major donor for a specific purpose, and we can handle that in the best way we can and use the money as best we can, and that's my focus, doing the best thing we can with the money. And given that special situation, given that we're special situation in the future, and we'll want to be available to consult on the basis of allocating money well and not making a compromise with PR. You know,
yeah, but Holden, you're missing his point. I'm sorry to speak for Tom. I think you're missing his point, which is people trust now what GiveWell says. And if GiveWell speaks through its actions and makes a donation that perhaps doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense or whatever, if you say you're going to empower Africans and you're giving to BRAC and they use the money to do a program in Bangladesh, you're not sending a message that enables or empowers people to act in a way that truly fulfills the mandate they may think that they're fulfilling. And I think Tom is not talking about this as using it as a sales pitch. He's talking about it as a follow the leader kind of thing. You blog about this. So you blog about giving to BRAC to empower Africans. It sends a message to people. It's not a PR thing necessarily.
You know, I strongly feel that we should always do the best thing for using our money as best we can and then explain it. And our target audience and our like way that we operate is to do that and not to take actions based on how we can explain it.
Okay, but Holden, like that's fine, but my mom gives through GiveWell and my mom is part of your audience, and I have friends who give through GiveWell, and they're not reading all your explanations. There is a portion of people that we are responsible for helping them think through or at least act through their giving, and I personally feel this is a case where our message is important, and some people don't do all the reading, and you know, we have to have integrity for those people as well. I'm not saying we wouldn't have integrity if we give to BRAC. That's not the point, but all I'm saying is that there is a message that you send, and people sometimes just trust you because you're an expert, you being GiveWell. So there
can
is
I,
that element. Yeah.
Can I interrupt to ask a question about BRAC? Do we have any idea what portion of their budget is spent in Africa?
Natalie, do you know?
I can pull that up now, just a sec.
So
while
think,
we're waiting for
that. While we're waiting for that, I mean, Lindy and Tom, what they're arguing, I think I'm going to add it as a major point to address in a future strategy conversation, because I want a general principle that we never allocate money or take an action based on how easy that thing is to explain. I think that, I mean, I don't know, maybe there could be exceptions, but
I'm sorry, that's not the point that I'm trying to make, but maybe we need to reserve this for another conversation.
Well, as long as we're waiting for Natalie, maybe I should.
So why don't we? I think we should. Well, I guess people may vote based on this, so I think we might need to. I mean, maybe it's going to affect my vote.
Pardon?
It's certainly going to affect my vote.
Yeah, I'm looking now on my BlackBerry. I'm trying to figure out how much.
So, in 2010, BRAC plans to spend about $88 million in Africa. And in 2008, their total budget was a little under $400 million.
It's about 20%.
And of their programs in Africa, what kind of programs predominantly? I mean, I see economic development, education, health. Like, do we know?
I think
what
it's predominantly microfinance is what they're doing in Africa.
It's about 2/3 microfinance,
but not the TUP program.
They're not current running or plan to run in 2010 the TUP program.
And did you guys do research on how effective their microfinance programs are?
We did. I mean, I would say that they're, you know, in our sort of framework for evaluating a microfinance organization, they were average. They were above average in sort of what they had, but they're not at the standard of SES in terms of demonstrating that their programs are, you know, running the way that we'd like to see them run.
I mean, to me, if 20% of an organization's budget is spent in a region, that's enough to give in some sense. But if that budget, if 80% of that budget is being used for microfinance, which we think is average, I just don't think that's the right way to go.
Do you want to clarify the statement about confusing, or do we want to vote, or do people have other things to say?
I'd be interested in moving to a vote with each person providing a not just a yay-nay, but a similar to what Lindy just did, something of an explanation of their votes.
And I think as a procedurally, I mean, we could do something where people sort of vote and then have the right to change their vote after hearing other people's votes if the arguments people have made change their minds.
How about we just hear other people's arguments for this?
Right, we could take a straw poll and just see where everyone stands before we do an official vote.
Yes, I would appreciate that.
Awesome. I mean, I'm leaning toward just not granting BRAC, mostly because I think that I was not on top of enough of the situation with the ultra poor program and the complete breakdown of is the ultra poor program coming to Africa? When is it coming? Doing in Africa, etc. I wasn't putting all the pieces together well enough, and I think I would probably skip BRAC. I don't feel that strongly right now. I can kind of go either way.
So with my power to use Greg's vote, which is really exciting for me to get to vote, I'm going to stick with the proposed allocation of grants, unrestricted grants of 100, 150. And I think I've argued why. I think BRAC deserves the 50.
I would exclude BRAC and grant the balance to the others. I'm very concerned about the geographical issues, and most of the positives that you outlined represent 10% of the budget, and I just don't think there's a strong connection between where the money would actually go and the stated purpose of the grant. And I think that there's a lot of benefits to GiveWell being able to prove that we can, clearly and efficiently execute a grant of this type. And then I'm also very concerned about making restricted grants, particularly because of the intellectual clarity on fungibility that's been expressed at length on the blog. I think that making a restricted grant would be contrary to that.
Yeah, I guess I would vote to exclude BRAC as well. I mean, I'm sort of relying on Tim's perspective on restricted grants being problematic, and on questions about the balance of BRAC's programs outside of the ultra poor program. I think the following the mandate question is sort of a strategic question. I respect Holden's issues on that, and I think we can take that up later. But I do think being able to explain why we do things is an element of transparency, and I think that's one of the foundations of GiveWell. So I think that's important. If we feel like we can explain it to people, then I'd be open to making grants that are theoretically outside the initial mandate. But I think it does complicate things quite a lot.
But wait, can I jump in? I mean, I'm fine with you voting as you want to vote. But Tom, how does this explanation work for you for a donor if we decide to give money to BRAC? We consult. Right. If someone has enough money, we will and then we will work with you individually and do what you want, not just give the money where we think it should be given, because if we were doing that, we would give it to Village Reach and Stock TV. So that's something we do, and in this case, we had an original mandate that said A, then we decided that the best way to accomplish the spirit of it would be B. We checked that with the donor. We will do the same with you if you ever consult with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the question of do we want to be in sort of the retail business of advising individual grants that are sort of open-ended and we can kind of push back on, or do we want to, you know, be more institutional and, you know, have the parameters defined at the outset and execute based on the parameters?
And as long as we still have the business of individuals with not a lot of money donating based on GiveWell's advice and actions, I think we have to be very careful about the retail strategy.
I just find it a little bit hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe we're talking about this when we decided we weren't going to talk about it until some other time.
Well, I think this is about an argument for vote.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, the reason I think this is worth having is that it sounds like there's a major pillar of, you know, the reasoning behind Tom's vote and maybe Lindy's vote that I think, you know, I disagree with, and they certainly have the right to disagree with me, even though it's hard for me to believe. But, you know, I just wanted to just lay out what I think, because I think that based on just our own experience with how people use GiveWell's research and how they interact with the information we put out, I think it has the chance and even the likelihood of them changing their mind. So let me give it a shot, and if it doesn't change their mind, we'll move on. But basically, I mean, nowhere would we say on our website in terms of BRAC, you know, BRAC is the place to give to, you know, improve economic empowerment in sub-Saharan Africa. Like, we don't talk in those terms. That's not what we would say. BRAC would be one of the recipients for the grant that was initially intended for that, but I just find it, you know, the way people come to our site and use our research is they look to our top-rated charities and they see those and they give based on those, and I don't think we're at a point where people are sort of making distinctions in causes and regions with the research we've put out to the extent that it's really very plausible that people would be confused by this action.
All I'm saying is it's a precedent.
But I think the precedent is just this is consulting. This is not GiveWell's recommendation. And GiveWell's recommendations are clearly laid out on the recommendations page, which is the thing everyone uses. So I think that's the important precedent to set, is that this is not an individual donor recommendation. This is a consulting gig. We do another one, too. That's the right precedent. And so therefore, I feel strongly that the precedent we want to set is spending the money as well as possible. And the last thing I want to include as an item in our reasoning is that we thought something would be easy to explain or less confusing.
I feel strongly that I want to hear what John and Tim have to say.
Well, like I said,
Ari and Tim.
Sure. I mean, I guess on the question of the mandate, I mean, to me, it seems if they presented this to the grantee or the grantor, and they're okay with it, and it feels like it's within the realm of what they hope to accomplish, it really doesn't seem like an issue to me at all in terms of whether it's in the spirit or not. It's their money, and if they're willing to talk through the research and come to a decision on their own based on what they found, to me it's a non-issue. And I'm unclear on how you guys plan on presenting this on the website. I mean, you just spoke about how you're thinking of how you'd present it, but I'm not sure if it's a different page, is it in the blog? And I guess depending on how you lay it out, maybe it's less of an issue than it has to be.
So, I mean, I think that's worth having Holden and Ellie answer is, based on what you just said, my understanding is that there is a page that is GiveWell's recommendations for economic empowerment in sub-Saharan Africa, on which will appear VEF and SEF.
No, the way I think it'll work, and we haven't actually discussed this very much, but basically, you know, giving the whole grant process is just a grant is a tool we use to get information from charities and focus on a different area of research. But ultimately, you know, all research we do fits into one, you know, one overall framework, which is, you know, what causes are happening and what are recommended charities. And so BRAC, SEF, and VEF are all going to be, I believe, you know, will be on our recommended charities page, depending on what rating we ultimately give them. And it will say, you know, what they do, totally regardless of what the grant was initially intended for. This is just, you know, we learned about these organizations in this process, and therefore they belong on that page. And in, you know, the page on economic empowerment, which we have, you know, all those organizations will appear, again, not specifying, you know, specifying the regions in which they work, but not, you know, not doing anything specific to sub-Saharan Africa.
But you're going
to
blog about them, too.
Well, we're going to make we'll certainly make a blog announcement that said we had this grant, and these are the three we picked. This is what BRAC does. This is where they work. This is why they fit with the grant, and, you know, similarly for SDF and BEF.
If you talked about economic empowerment and BRAC, and you didn't mention, or you didn't focus primarily on the Ultra Poor program, and you didn't mention that you think their microfinance is pretty much average, I'd be very disappointed.
Well,
we'll say
we're
going to
mention
like
everything. Yeah. I mean, the main, we're going to make, basically, there's going to be a blog post that links to the first blog post. The first blog post is going to say what this grant was originally for. Then we're going to say what we did and why, and it's just going to be one blog post. As far as, you know, as far as anything else, as far as recommendations for charities, it's a totally different thing, and where we give the money will have no bearing on it.
I don't think the whole, I don't think it's about the messaging, honestly. I think it's just about the intellectual honesty, like, recording the decision-making process. That's all.
Well, I think intellectual honesty,
I don't actually think it's about packaging it or anything. I just think it's really important to be completely, like, documented about how it all came about.
I'm fine with that. The only point that I originally got my hackles up that I jumped in on is that I do not allocate money based on messaging. Don't want to do that, and do want to, you know, there's other reasons that people are arguing we should exclude BRAC, and like I said, I'm kind of leaning toward accepting them.
Tim, what is your straw vote?
My straw vote is to go with the allocated or the original recommendation. Although what I strongly feel is what GiveWell says is far more important than the allocation of the money. And so the idea that BRAC goes in this, you know, on the upper end of charities that are doing economic empowerment anywhere because of their commitment, as demonstrated in the Ultra Poor program, to evaluation and BRAC research and all those sorts of things, to me that's just as important, if not more important, than whether we allocate the money. So I'm not going to be disappointed if we decide not to give BRAC some money out of this grant. But I do think it's very important for GiveWell to be sending the message that charities that behave in the way that BRAC is behaving in this program deserve reward.
So my straw vote would be to go back to BRAC and ask them a very pointed question as to whether the Ultra Poor program is going to be expanding into Africa in the next year. If the answer
we
is no...
We have that information.
Sorry.
Okay.
If it's no, then I would prefer to split the money between the two other organizations. And I think then even if there was a BRAC Africa, given that the vast majority of their work is microfinance, and given that I'm extremely skeptical, as are you, and your evaluation of microfinance, I do not think that's what we should be supporting. You want to talk about BRAC as being effective and a leader on impact evaluation and whatever, be specific about the amounts of their programs and what percent they're being effective and impactful on. Be very specific, because there will be skeptics. But in terms of this allocation, I say forget it.
All right, so we just need Ari to finish our straw poll here.
I think he...
Yeah, I'm okay with sticking with the proposed allocation for the main reason, as I said earlier. If you explained it to them and they're okay with the geography of it, I'm fine with that. And it sounds like you present it in a way that's consistent with... GiveWell ideals.
So just the results, just so everyone knows, if anyone wants to consider their vote, is we had Holden, John, Tom, and Lindy all were on the split 125-125 SEF VEF, and I guess I, you know, Tim, Ari, and I were all on the original allocation, 100-150. So it would be 4-3 now to the two-way split.
Has anyone changed their mind? Because I'm pretty on the fence, so I'd prefer not to be a deciding vote.
Well, Holden, I think you and I are in the same place, so it's not really a deciding vote for either of us. Because,
but it's still, even if we take you out, it's still in favor of splitting
of the
it 50-50. Between the two. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is that
yeah.
because
Holden is on the fence on one side. I'm on the fence on the other side.
That's
so
what
they
I heard.
Cancel each other
yeah.
out. So there's no real fence sitting. The preponderance of the board is toward the going the 50-50.
Ellie, are you extremely frustrated?
No, unfortunately. No, I think that I'm not extremely frustrated.
Okay.
I don't fully agree with all the reasoning, I think, Lindy, that you know, you've put forward for your allocation, but you know, I definitely agree that broadly, you know, there's not an extremely strong case for BRAC relative
yeah.
to the other two.
Now, if you want to go on the record on the website and whatever and say BRAC is doing incredible work, paving the way, blah, 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 no problem with that at all.
That's the part that I care about. Yeah, that's the part that I care about happening because
yeah.
of what I've read is that we do do that.
Yeah.
I care
to be
about
clear,
that
far
more than the money.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. I mean, like Holden said, our view of BRAC is independent of the decision, you know, whether or not to allocate them these funds.
But bring out the other side too, right? Like that their microfinance programs aren't proven.
Well, I mean, I think it's worth. I mean, one thing that is in my mind with BRAC, and I think it's worth remembering, is that you know we're not looking at BRAC. I think it's fair to say, you know, roughly, you know, BRAC is sort of an equivalent bet to SEF and VEF. But it's not like we're comparing BRAC to, you know, another organization which has an ironclad or some, you know, program that's extremely well proven. You know, like we laid out in our documents, I mean, you
yeah.
know, Lindy, when you say sort of the microfinance program isn't proven, you know, I think that SEF, which is our star microfinance charity, our microfinance organization, has a great process for monitoring what their program, and they have a high repayment rate. But there are certainly you know, there are certainly concerning questions that we have about the impact that they're having.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of what is in my mind is that I think, you know, to me, we found three sort of roughly equivalent organization all told. I do understand sort of in that sense, you know, we sort of have a regional, maybe there's like a regional preference given to the other two relative to BRAC. And so that's okay.
Yeah, where I come down in all of this, too, is that no one is proven, nothing is proven in this space. And so the idea that we are simply rewarding those organizations with unproven programs who are more likely than others to ultimately figure that out and fix and do something different, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it does beg the question of the reward. So rewarding BRAC with $50,000 on a $400 million budget is symbolic. So I think
right.
there's
and
that element,
that's
too.
Why
in this
I, that's why I don't care about the grant as much
right.
as I care about what we say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think
so,
we should talk about BRAC that way.
Yeah, and I just one thing I think about the reward, I just want to put out that I don't think the reward is necessarily, you know, that it's just for BRAC to act based on the reward. I think that it's for others to also see what BRAC has done. And so, you know, other organizations can see us giving $50,000, you know, and see that that's a potential award that they can achieve if they can meet the, you know, to some degree, the BRAC standard. And so I guess I do see some value in rewarding more different kinds of charities with funds, you know, because VEF has one approach, SEF has a different approach, and BRAC has a third. And I think there are reasons to, you know, for that all of them are good and in different ways. And I think that there's some value in showing, you know, in showing charities that
right.
they can win rewards by doing different types.
But the approach that we like for BRAC is not being implemented in Africa. And I don't care what the donor said, like, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, like, so let's just say they're great. You know, as soon as they start working in Africa, we'd be considering them for these kinds of whatever consulting, I don't know, whatever. But that's not what we're doing now, but we were very, you know, pleased to find this, blah, blah, blah.
I want to go a little
bit. Decision here, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, let me just put out there why I'm so on the fence, because I'm actually starting to lean the other way now, because, well, I mean, basically what it comes down to is that I think, you know, granting BRAC to me, is BRAC is a little bit of a fail on sub-Saharan Africa. Like, that's the basic story. Like, the one program we really have confidence in is not coming to sub-Saharan Africa, and the programs they're running in sub-Saharan Africa we don't really like. And so how can we, it seems a little bit absurd to give this money to them when it was supposed to be for sub-Saharan Africa, et cetera, and we did exclude organizations based on that. That, to me, is the argument for excluding BRAC. And then the argument going the other way is like, well, okay, but we talked to the funder's okay with it, and we think we would accomplish more good with the money this way. So, and I do think we would be, you know, the incentives and such just work out better if we give it to three than if we give it to two.
But Holden, you just raised a really big problem, which is that we turned others away based on geography.
Yes,
and
I recognize that. So
we've already talked about that on a previous call, about being authentic to the process and transparent and all of that.
Well, I don't think authentic and transparent are a problem because we're going to explain everything that goes into our thinking and this whole audio is going online. But, you know, what I'm thinking is, this is a consulting project. Why don't we do the thing that's going to accomplish the most good with the money and is fine by the funder, even though it doesn't fit the letter of the law because the person who put down that letter is fine with what we're doing. So that's where, you know, that those are the two arguments to me, is do more good with the money or, you know, but it's also a little absurd to, you know, BRAC I think is not someone who I really think we have much good to say about their work in sub-Saharan Africa.
And you don't think you're going to have organizations come back to you and be like, hey, like, we applied too and we do really great stuff and it's not in sub-Saharan Africa, but now we were discluded because you just
we didn't exclude, I mean, our exclusion process based on the region was really at an initial stage, where we checked if the organization had any operations in sub-Saharan Africa based on the, you know, regions listed on their website. You know, so if an organization worked like BRAC does in part of sub-Saharan Africa, or part of their operations were there, we would consider them.
But, Ellie, it's a little weird. Like, we never looked at, I don't even know how to, you know, Promuher or whatever. And they, you know, they could have just had some token program in Africa that was not very good and not very substantive, and then they would have technically qualified, and maybe their Latin America stuff was great. I mean,
right. But it's relevant to me that it's 20% of the budget is in Africa. So, and the fact that we didn't exclude any, if they had a token program, we would have considered them. So I don't think there's that, you know, we've done anything where we've, you know, excluded someone
saying,
who could have ended
that's
up
what I'm
where
saying
BRAC
is
did.
Weird. But that's what I'm saying is weird, is that I don't particularly think BRAC is doing, like, outstanding work in sub-Saharan Africa. And so, you know, it's just because, like, these other organizations that are in Latin America didn't have some, like, technical presence in Africa, that they didn't technically qualify for the first screen. It just seems a little weird to me.
You guys are going to have to explain an incredibly large amount of stuff if you choose BRAC.
Well, we're just not worried about. We always have to explain an incredibly large amount of stuff.
Well, I just don't see the point.
The point
I
is
don't
that
see the point. You have two other organizations that are good that you're not going to run into any problems with of others coming back to you potentially and saying, "Well, this is weird," and you know, it just like you know we're.
I mean, the principle that I'm following and the reason it is important to me, I mean, it's just, to me, ultimately, it's a lot of money, and, you know, I think that we owe the funder that we make a decision what to do with these funds based on where we think they'll do the most good in line with the funder's rules, and not say, oh, it's going to, you know, take us longer to explain or is more complicated or is more difficult for us,
so you
therefore,
think
we're going to make our lives easier.
$50,000 is going to make a lot of good at BRAC.
Yeah, I think so. I think that whole thing about, I don't think you should look at donations as a percent of the budget. I think, you know, basically we could be a tiny portion of BRAC's activities, which affect an enormous number of people, and when you multiply that out, we're affecting some people, which is the same thing we're doing. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, impact on human beings, I don't really see a reason to think that the BRAC donation has less impact just because it's a smaller percentage.
I mean, I think we're beating this a little bit to a pulp. I have a really big, I'm a stickler around the process, and I think a lot of the problems with NGOs is that they don't stick to processes that they talk through, and I understand that an exception came up, But I have a problem if we are, you know, we turn people away because they didn't fit a certain rule, and now we're going to give to someone who still didn't fit that rule, and I don't care what stage of the process it was, but to me that's
okay, so
problematic.
Then, so let me just respond very clearly that we did not turn anyone away who, you know, was the same as BRAC.
I didn't
because
say the
of
same.
The regional issue. I'm not saying it precisely, but what I mean to say is that the problem with BRAC is that they're 80% non-Sub-Saharan Africa. We did not turn anyone away for being 80% non-Sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah, but what if they were 90% non-Sub-Saharan Africa? I mean,
we didn't. We only turned people away where our best belief, the belief we had was that they were 0% Sub-Saharan Africa.
And what happens if people didn't apply because they only had 10 or 20% in Sub-Saharan Africa and they thought this was for an African organization? Like, there were rules at the beginning, or you stated what it was. You stated what the grant was for.
Ellie, were you not on the most recent call with Jeff, is that right?
I was not.
I don't know if you're going to have anything to contribute here, but I'm not sure Jeff is clear enough on the picture of we don't, like, if I were to say to him, I don't think BRAC is doing outstanding work in Sub-Saharan Africa, but we gave it to them, he might not be okay with that. And I think his saying you can give it to BRAC, you know, was in the context of a conversation where I think a different impression was given, and that's a major issue.
No, I mean, that's a huge deal, and so I didn't know that, and so I wouldn't want to vote to give the money to BRAC if that is a question.
I was
right.
very
and
surprised
it's a question to me. It's not something that I don't have a perfect record of it, and I don't know for sure, but to me it's like just the fact that it's possible is why I think I'm going to vote.
I would just change my previous vote to be my 50 to BRAC would just be contingent on checking this with Jeff.
Frankly, I was surprised to hear that he just said okay. I thought the whole point was Africa.
That's what I'm thinking is like, I think what happened is I said, you know, we're thinking blah blah blah, and I don't think I explicitly said anything that was like inaccurate, but I think there's a good possibility that he was under the impression that we think BRAC does outstanding work in Sub-Saharan Africa, and if we were to tell him they don't, he would be pretty surprised and wouldn't want us granting there. I think that's a definite possibility, and I think I'd probably vote the same way Ellie does, but I would vote to like literally call him up and say we don't think BRAC does outstanding work in Sub-Saharan Africa. This is what we're thinking. Are you comfortable with that? Except I'm not even sure it's worth doing. I think it might just be better to... Because then it becomes a whole thing where he doesn't want to make the decision for us. So I don't know. Anyway, I almost just want to dodge the risk and just give it to the two.
Well, maybe it's just time for our official vote now.
I've got one more question about BRAC more generally. Yeah, how well do you think you understand their programs besides TUP and besides microfinance, which together are still less than half their expenses?
Not well at all. But it's in the context just, you know, to be... So not well at all, like not up to the standard that we understand, say, an organization like PSI, which runs a lot of different programs. That said, I don't think any of the organizations in this area are up to the standard of PSI. And so in the context of sort of a lower bar, you know, that's what makes me like BRAC. Though, John, you're definitely right that, you know, we know next to nothing about 50% of what they're doing.
Yeah, that just places a huge weight on, I think, a pretty ephemeral sort of incentive.
And that's like $200 million. Like, that's a lot of money that we don't know how well they're doing, and we want to reward them as an organization.
The other thing, it just seems sort of logical or rational to me that, you know, in an area where, like health, where we get a lot of information about charities, and we can be really confident that an organization like Village Reach is you know, causing a lot of good, in that framework, you know, I can prefer Village Reach to another organization where there are, you know, people I trust and other indications that an organization is great. But in an area like this, an economic empowerment where none of the options are great, then the other pros for BRAC start to weigh more heavily to me. And that's what leads me, even though I know that I know very little about, you know, more than 50% of BRAC, and that number rises a lot when you say, you know, we don't even really know a lot about their microfinance program. You know, it gets
really hot.
But at the same time, I say, look, I know what people think of BRAC, and they think, you know, the reputation BRAC has is a different type of reputation than what we've seen for other organizations. Their commitment to evaluation is a different type than anyone else we've seen in this sector or in this area of economic empowerment. And given who they are, you know, who are weighing them against, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with them, though I certainly understand, you know, John and Lindy if you don't.
Well, then, you know, put that on the website, but don't give them $50,000.
Well, I mean, it would lead me to give them the money, though I certainly can understand where you're coming from if it wouldn't lead you to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am working under the premise that the highest priority for the donor was economic empowerment in Africa, and if that was hard to come by, or if they thought that BRAC was doing it, then they were okay with it. If that premise is incorrect, and Holden, you're skeptical of that, like, then that's a different discussion, but that's the premise that I'm working under.
Yeah, I just want to say to Ellie that the compromise proposal of, like, going back to talk to the funder again is a little bit, it's not exactly clear how that's going to play out, because, again, you know, it's like we're going to be arguing to him that even though this is the case, that that's the case, he doesn't want to make a decision for us. So I basically think, Ellie, if you want that option, we're not going to be able to make it as systematic as we're saying. I think we're just going to have to vote to postpone the decision. Like, to me, that's pretty much what it is. In my mind, it's pretty much like drop BRAC or postpone the decision. I think that's, to me, what I'm deciding between and what we should basically be voting on.
I don't care if we postpone, honestly.
I don't think it's worth it. Hold it. Can you just explain to me why that is? I mean, why can't we just call him and not get into all the details of this discussion and who we're granting and how much?
Yeah, but it's still a postponement, Ellie. Whether you call him tomorrow or not, we're still not going to vote tonight.
No, but we could vote. I would just want to vote contingent, and I'm just trying to understand why the contingency doesn't work to say, look, we weren't sure. We realized in the meeting we weren't sure about your, you know, what rules or what principles you want us to follow in allocating these funds. And the question relates to BRAC, so we just want to lay out, you know, what we think about BRAC and whether it meets your criteria. I don't know. It doesn't seem that difficult to me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Was that Holden? Go ahead.
The way I see the conversation going is I say, you know, we don't think BRAC does good work in sub-Saharan, you know, outstanding work in sub-Saharan Africa on economic empowerment. And he's like, okay, so don't grant them. And then I'd be like, well, you know, but we want to grant them because we think we would accomplish more good this way. And then it's like he's really, you know, it's putting him in a position where he's trying to weigh GiveWell's mission and make a decision for us. And so then at that point, I don't think he's going to give us a straightforward answer.
Can
I think
you just
he'll
ask
give us
him
something.
If his priority was Africa?
I mean, it sounds like, Holden, what you're saying now is really coming full circle. I mean, now it just sounds to me, what I'm hearing is that you, if you had to guess, you really agree with Lindy that it's unlikely that, you know, it makes that he would want us to be granting a non-African organization.
Well, I think I don't know. I don't know how likely it is. I'm not trying to make a statement on that. I'm trying to say that, you know, just how are you going to run this conversation? What are you going to do? You know, and you're just, it's going to become a conversation about GiveWell, not a conversation about what his priorities are.
No, but I would just want to do what Lindy just proposed, which was just ask him specifically about his priority, and then we need to weigh all the other things. And if he tells me...
All right, so I think we got to end this conversation soon. I don't think we can ask... I don't think we can have a conversation on his priorities on this topic that isn't also a conversation about, like, GiveWell's mission. Because he's going to Because what we're going to ask him to consider against his wish to help Africa is our wish to fulfill the mission.
So if that's what you think, I mean, I'll trust your judgment on that. And so that would lead, but that leads me to basically want to vote now, want to just do the two-way split, because, you know, we're talking about,
right,
like layers of funders and people's responsibilities to the people that gave them. I mean, we talked to him; he's not even the you know, the direct funder, he has other funders. I mean, the whole thing is
right,
changing.
Right, exactly.
So we
exactly,
can't do
that's
that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, and that's why I'm saying that the choices are postpone or drop
but
back.
But I don't even think postponing
I don't think you can set up an iron. I don't think we're going to be able to set up an ironclad algorithm that we know is going to lead to a decision at this meeting. I think it's postpone or drop.
That's fine. So then I'm willing to drop.
Tom, what were you going to say?
I think we should get into this stuff later. I mean, all I wanted to say was I appreciate Holden's comments about PR, and I think by my saying PR as the issue was not really an accurate reflection. I think it really does come down more to process, and you know, exception handling can bring an organization to its knees. You know, whether it's charities that feel like they didn't get a shot, or you know, donors who if it's a single donor who wants to feel like they're getting a high level of service, that's a positive, but I think that can also muddy the waters. And then to having to set precedents and having to communicate it to you know, donors down the road or charities down the road, I just think it's very complicated. So I mean, that's just sort of where I stand. Again, that's sort of a strategic issue. It's not the only reason that I'm voting to drop BRAC. I think there are other reasons that were raised, but that's just my perspective on it.
So I think now we might be at the point for the final vote. Is that fair to say? Anyone have any other questions before we vote?
No.
Okay. Well, since I'm so excited to vote again, I vote for the two-way split, 125 to SCF. 120. Oh, sorry, I did want to raise one thing. I know I pushed for the vote. Does anyone have any other questions? I mean, we've talked so much about allocating the BRAC. Did anyone have any questions about the other two I mean, the reason I raise that is, I mean, I think that, you know, both BEF in particular, it's small, you know, it's about a $1 million organization, and the only reason I raise that is that it's, you know, relatively unknown. You know, and similarly, SDF is, you know, it's one microfinance institution we found, and we certainly... We have reason to believe that it's the one we want to give the money to, but I don't think we've talked at all about SCF. And so just if anyone had any thoughts or questions, we should probably discuss them.
It seems to me very clearly that we're going to end up doing the BEF-SCF split. But as raised in the document, there's the possibility that we can't grant the SCF. And I suppose I have a bit of some concern then ending up giving all of the grant to BEF.
Agreed.
That being said, depending on what the donor's preferences are, as far as I know, you shouldn't have any problem making the grant to SEF, if not directly, then through the King Bedouin Foundation USA, who is set up to handle pass-through donations to non-US 501c3 orgs.
Wow, you just answered a question that many other people could not answer for us.
What was it?
So we've been looking for a fiscal sponsor who can pass through donations to an international organization without charging huge fees on them. Although I actually didn't. We don't know about the fees.
I don't know entirely about the fees, but King Bedouin, Give to Asia and the Alliance Foundation formed something a few years ago called the Alliance for International Giving, specifically to give U.S. donors relatively low-cost pass-through donations to non-U.S. 501c3 orgs.
So you guys should check.
I think we're going to end up doing it ourselves because I think that the costs get a little ridiculous on a grant of this size from what I've seen from other sources, but we'll check into that. But anyway, the major point is that I also would be concerned about giving the entire $250,000 to VEF. It gets very close to the funding gap they gave us, and we might have individuals given there too once we recommend them. So, you know, I would basically say let's vote to allocate the funds, and if we can't do SEF, then we are going to have to postpone, and I'm okay with doing that because I think there's only a very small chance that we can't grant SEF. But based on who I've talked to, I think we'll be fine.
Holden, just for the record, you said we will have individuals giving to them based on our support.
Because we're going to recommend them, not because
I know. I know. I'm just saying. They may not read. They may not read everything that you write, but they may do it because you did it.
What? All right.
People
so
would
I,
read
I
everything
by.
You wrote. What types of people are these?
So
right.
Are
I don't.
We gonna, are we going to vote contingency here? Like, if they can't take our money, then we're going to do something else, or what? What do you propose?
If they can't take our money, we're going to need to hold it until we have another meeting. But I think
okay.
that's very unlikely.
Can we vote? Does anyone have other concerns? Can I call a vote?
Yeah, the Vice President.
Okay, vote.
Yeah, Cindy, why don't you vote first? I'm on pin.
I vote to give everything to Brack. I'm just kidding. I vote to split between the two.
Yeah, I vote the same. Tom.
I vote the same.
Tim is... Yeah, Tim is in approval of splitting it between VEF and SEF.
Me too, says Holden. Ari, did you vote?
Yeah, I voted the same.
Did John?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the 50-50 split.
And Ellie?
I got someone on my list.
Yeah, well, now my vote doesn't matter, so I won't even... No, I'm in favor.
No, what's your vote on behalf of Greg?
My vote on behalf of Greg is the 125-125 split.
He will be very proud of you, Ellie.
Great. Did I do a good job voting, everyone?
You did. You did.
Thank you.
I think this was a very interesting debate, by the way. Maybe most of you were like, get me the hell off.
No, this was our best, I think this is our best charity debate since our first board meeting where the audio didn't work, so hopefully the recording will work for this one so we can post it.
Yeah, we need the term charity debate to be used a lot more overall than it is. That's one of our missions.
Okay.
Okay. So, are there any other items on the agenda, or you know, because we're getting close to our allotted time for this meeting?
Yeah, there's also no other items on the agenda.